Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Tonight, the title of my message is The Only Way Up is Down. Someone say down. The only way up is down. Mark chapter 10, say amen when you have it. And it's good to see you guys tonight. I believe that those of you that are here, God has a word for you. Mark chapter 10, verse 35, the Bible says this: Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is it? He asked. In your glorious kingdom, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. They said, one at your right and the other on your left. Jesus answered, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I am about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they said, we are able. And Jesus said, you will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism, but I have no right to say who will sit on the thrones next to mine. God has prepared those places for those he has chosen. When the 10 of the disciples discovered what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that in the world of kings are... You know that in this world, kings and tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Someone say servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I'm asking that you would allow me to just preach this message with clarity. I pray that you would encourage someone tonight. I ask that somebody would be inspired to do greater things than they ever thought possible. Father, we need you. We love you. We bless you. And in Jesus' name, we all say, amen. This morning, I want to talk to you on the topic of servanthood. Someone say servanthood. And, you know, the other day I was, I had a funny memory. You know, before I was a pastor, I worked for Wells Fargo for about 14 years. And at one point I was a hiring manager. And one of my responsibilities during that time was looking at resumes and interviewing people. And then what I was able to do was hire them. But one of the things I remembered about resumes are pieces of paper where we're able to put all of our job, you know, our abilities, right? And I remember years ago, I went to a job interview. And me and my brother-in-law, who's a Puerto Rican guy from New York, we went to this job interview. And what they did was I made my resume look real good. How many have ever made a resume look real good? Hey, man, you know, you put some things that you kind of puff it up, right? I can do this. And on my job interview, I put that I could speak Spanish. Now, at the time, I was the kid that they spoke to me in Spanish, but I answered in English. So therefore, I really didn't practice Spanish, and I could understand the conversation, but I didn't really speak it very well. So I remember I went to this job interview and I could speak Spanish fluently. So there was two of us, me and my brother-in-law, who's a Puerto Rican guy from New York, and he also put, I can speak Spanish fluently. So they said, okay, guys, we're done with the interview portion, but now what we're going to do is we want to see your skills, and what we're going to do is we're going to pass you a Post-it. And on the Post-it, there's going to be an object that you have to sell. So I think they gave me hairspray and they gave him apples. And they said, but what we're going to do, we're going to start with Radamus, Torres and Eric TG Boy, because both of them speak Spanish. And what we're going to ask you to do, we're going to ask you to sell these items in Spanish. Now, what was funny about this is my brother-in-law literally knew about three words. So then he goes, Radames, go first. So he looked at me and he looked at the interviewer, and it's a group interview, by the way. There's about 15 people. And he was supposed to sell me apples. So he looks at me and he goes, yo tengo manzana. Manzana is apple. He's all, tú quieres comprar. He's all, you want to buy? Do you want apples in Spanish? Do you want to buy? I got red. I got green. I got little pink. ¿Quieres manzana? That's all he kept saying. And I remember sitting there like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And then they came to me and I said, I can't do this. And I remembered something very important that day. Never lie on your resume. Come on, somebody. It's funny because the world, the way they choose leaders, or the way that people look at, they look at skill and abilities. But it's quite different in the world of God. When God looks for people, he doesn't necessarily look for people that are qualified, but he qualifies those that he calls. And this world has a way of having us rush to the top and do whatever we have to do to get to the top. But when we're serving God, it's quite different. We don't have to try to puff ourselves up. We don't have to create spiritual resumes, amen? The reality of this world, it's survival of the fittest, only the strong survive. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about today. It's interesting because when you look at the story that we read, here you have James and John, and they come to Jesus and they ask Jesus a favor. They went to him and they said, in your kingdom, we want to sit in places of honor next to you. And when we read this story, there are many different ways we can see it. But the disciples asked Jesus a pretty big thing. Many think that the two brothers were ambitious and in some senses selfish, because they said, Father, we want to sit on your right and on your left. And when I remember reading this story, something really hit me. I started to think, is it bad to want to do great things for God? Have you ever thought that before? Right? Because sometimes we're taught, let God call you. Don't dream. And I think that sometimes in the church we can get to a place where we don't think big enough. We don't dream. We don't think we can do great things. Wave at me if you've ever been there. It's good to see you, Eric. Come on, brother. It's good to see you. You know, what they asked Jesus wasn't a bad thing. As a matter of fact, as Christians, it should be our ambition to want to do great things for God. 1 Timothy 3:1 says this, it is a true saying that if someone wants to be an elder, some translations say, if someone aspires to leadership, it is an honorable ambition. Now, what is the definition of ambition? Ambition is simply this. It's an eager or strong desire to achieve something. We are all born with ambition and desire to do great things. It's how God created us. Now, having ambition is not a bad thing. It's actually honorable. It becomes a bad thing when it overtakes us. Ambition could be very bad if your ambitions are all self-centered. Are you with me tonight? We can become devoted to one specific thing and it's all about us. Ambition can also be dangerous when we lack understanding. Ambitions can also be dangerous when we set to prove how great we are, or when we start trying to flash our spiritual resume. And every now and then, you get some Christians that come into the church and they start flashing what I call their spiritual resume. Come on, somebody. They start talking holier than thou, right? They start speaking about what they've done and what they've been. But the key is this. God is not looking for people that have the skills and abilities. But God wants us to be humble in heart. God's way to greatness is far different than the world. And I love it because as when he's talking to his disciples, he tells them this. He said, you know that in the world, kings are tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should not be. It should be different. Then Jesus tells us, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave. By definition, there's a difference between a servant and a slave. Does anybody know what a servant is? By definition, when you think of a servant, what do you think of? Say it again. Okay, a paid person, that's good. Somebody else, when you think of a servant? Somebody that serves willingly. Someone who wants to, right? Well, this is the definition of a servant. A person who is employed by another, one who serves, does services, or voluntarily. Now, when you think of a slave, what do you think of? Bondage. What else? Property. Well, the definition of a biblical slave is a person who is a property of and completely subjective to another. A slave is someone who's bound in servitude. Now, we as God's people need to be people that have a servant's heart, where we're willing to help people, not because we want something, but because we just want to do good. We live in a world where we want to do things, but everything has an attachment. I do because I want, right? And sometimes you get people that they want to do great things for God, but everything is because they expect something in return. See, as a servant, you have a choice to serve. But when you're a slave, you are bound in servitude and entirely under the influence of another person. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says this, for though I am free from all men, I made myself a slave to all that I might win the more. And I think as God's people, we need to, like the Apostle Paul, take that approach where we become a slave. Listen to me, where we're bound in servitude under the influence of another. Who's the other? It's God. There was compassion in the heart of the Apostle Paul that drove him to want to serve whoever he came in contact with. See, the first mark of a servant is the ability to put others ahead of yourself. Are you with me? See, a servant denies himself out of deep concern for other people. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says this, even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose-living, immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I don't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I have become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempt to lead those I meet into God's saved life. See, Jesus was stating that greatness involves being a servant, but being first meant being selfless. And some leaders will only serve when it's convenient. One of the main things I want you to catch is don't be a person that serves only when it's convenient on your time. A true servant is someone that is willing to serve when there is a need. You know, when I was coming up and I was getting discipled, one of the main phrases I would hear is, you see a need, you meet that need. But in today's world, we don't do that. We see a need, and instead of meeting the need, we turn the blind eye. Wave at me if you've ever been there. But I'm talking about having a heart full of compassion that is willing, listen to me, willing to serve someone else, even if you don't get recognition, even if someone else doesn't say thank you. We're living in a world where people need us. They need us to have a heart of a servant, where we're willing to do, we're willing to give of our substance. We're willing to counsel at the late hours of the night. We're willing to sacrifice maybe our Monday or Tuesday to spend time with someone that's battling depression. Or just maybe we need to put our schedule on hold for the sake of investing in someone that wants to learn about the gospel. I am convinced that some leaders, they plateau in ministry because they lose the heart of being a servant. Everything we do is for people. Our ministry exists to serve our community, to serve the people within our church. And there are some of you that God is calling you and pulling you. You know, when you look at even, for example, you look at the worship team, they're serving out of their gifting. You look at the people that go out to evangelize, they're serving out of their gifting. You look at the people that are in the children's ministry, they are serving out of their gifting. My question to you tonight is, what is your gifting, and are you willing to serve from that place? Because it's in that place where you're willing to serve with passion and with excellence. We're not asking you to do something you don't know how to do, but there are some of you, understand this, God is calling you to a higher level, and it's going to cost you your comfort. Are you willing to give that up? Because to go to the next place, it's going to cost you something. One of the words we don't hear enough about anymore, it's selflessness. What does it mean to be selfless? Anybody, when you think of the word selfless, when you see a selfless person, what does it mean to be selfless? Putting others' needs before your own. What else? Sacrifice. That's another word I don't hear very much about anymore. When you think of sacrifice, what comes to your mind? Giving what you don't have. Give me one more. Selfless. When you think of someone that's selfless. Huh? Loving. Selfless is having little or no concern for oneself, especially in regard to fame, position, or money. It's to be unselfish, showing unselfish concern for the welfare of others. And this is a quality that needs to be developed within the church. See, ambition is not a bad thing, as long as it's God-centered. Proverbs 10:9 tells us this, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. And this is why when we desire to do great things for God, understand this, God should be the center. If you want to do something great for God, like it's no secret, like I want to build a big church. Now, is that a bad thing? People can think, well, he's prideful. No. I want to build a big church, not for numbers' sake, not to have a beautiful building, because I want to see a lot of families come to the Lord. But I'm not going to put limits on God. I have to think different. I have to be willing to sacrifice. I have to be willing to give of my time, of my substance, even my finances. I have to be willing to sacrifice for the sake of reaching the lost. But Christianity today, in many ways and forms, it's a convenience. Are you hearing me? I'm not talking about serving from convenience, because that's not service. That's called comfort. Are you with me? We should desire to do great things for God. But when we desire to do great things for God, one thing we should always do is check our motive. Someone say motive. When we are selfless, it's not about us. We don't do things out of expectation because we want something in return. When we do things with no expectation, we're not always going to receive the accolades. Sometimes you're going to do something and someone's not going to say thank you. But know this, whenever you serve, do it unto the Lord. Let God reward you. God sees all things. I text somebody the other day. They've been doing something faithfully. No one even knows what they're doing. And I text them and I said, you know what? I want you to know that I see what you're doing. I see how much sacrifice, and I just need you to know that nothing goes unnoticed. And that person texted me back and said, man, thank you. I needed to hear that. But the reality is this, doing the work of God, you're not always going to get the accolades. But you have to have the heart that is willing to sacrifice for the sake of someone else. You know what the greatest enemy to selflessness is? What do you think is the greatest enemy to being selfless or being a servant? Selfish? What else? Greed? Pride. See, pride is when we think more higher than ourselves than we ought to. Pride, by definition, is this. It's a dignified sense of what is due to oneself or one's position or character. It's to have self-respect, self-esteem. Pride is also seeing oneself higher than we ought to. And this is why we have to stay connected to God when we do serve. Whether you're serving in the children's ministry, whether you're serving on the worship team, whether you're serving in the children's ministry. But the reality is this, we need some of you guys to serve. But when you serve, you got to make sure that you're doing it for God. Because if not, someone's going to rub you the wrong way and you'll walk away. Someone's going to say something to you you don't like. But I'm talking about we're dealing with people. People that come in that are hurting. They don't necessarily know the church lifestyle. But are we patient enough? Are we willing to love on them? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to give of our substance so that we can reach people for God's honor and God's glory? You know, I love what Jesus tells these two guys that are asking, you know, sit us on your left and to your right. He says, for even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. And that's the example that we need to take. Are we willing to give our life as a ransom to the world? Are you hearing me? If you got anything else, ask yourself that question. That's what I wanted to get across. When I read this, the Lord was reminding me why I do what I do. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Ransom means payment or payoff. The price for redeeming, to liberate many from the misery and the penalty of their sins. See, we need to be people that are willing to give our lives to the Lord. And in doing so, listen, it's not just about us getting our lives back. But what can we give back? What can we do for the Lord? When someone gives a ransom, they pay a price. I will tell you this, to pursue the call of God on your life, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to pay a price. Every man has to go through a process. God will take you through this thing called a process where he begins to deal with your character, where he begins to deal with those areas in your life where he says, now I need this from you. I need you to work these areas out so that you can move forward, so that I can take you to where I desire. See, people that are servants, they don't focus on position or rank. I think that's important to understand because sometimes people, that's what they do. They focus on position. It's not about position. It's not about rank. It's about loving people. Servanthood is not about position or skill. It's about attitude. The attitude in which we serve will determine how effective we lead others. Luke 17:10 says this, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. And this is why I titled this word, The Only Way Up Is Down. Because the only way for God to elevate us, we have to be willing to give our lives as a ransom. We have to be willing to serve from a humble place. And I'm convinced that there are some, that sometimes we battle with this. It's not that easy to do. But Jesus himself did it. I end with this. Philippians 2:5-9 says this, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider himself robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He took the humble position of a slave, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death to the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, servanthood is not about position, it's an attitude. That's why I say the only way up is down. If Jesus came from heaven to earth to die, then was taken up, that's the same position we need to take. There are some people that you need to die already. You need to die to self. Die to certain desires that keep calling you. Desires that keep you from the promise. There are some desires that are unhealthy. It's time to die. Spiritually. There are certain things within us that need to be put to rest so that we can move forward. Luke 17:10. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. Listen, we need more servants. I'm not talking about just serving in ministry. I'm talking about a lifestyle. People are hurting, man. People need us. People need us to go to their homes, visit them at their jobs. Listen, for some of you, you have the gift, but you battle fear. But it's time to serve not only God, but it's time to serve his people. It's time to love them, even when they're unlovable. And listen, we're called to work with the unlovable. Who's going to work with them if we don't? When I came in, I wasn't easy to work with. But thank God there were servants in the house of God that gave their lives as a ransom so that I can catch it. Are you willing to give your life for ransom tonight? I'm going to ask you to stand with me.